Well, good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I bring the fraternal greetings of the Hastings Ecclesia to you all this day. And also, where I've been in the Philippines, the Quezon City Ecclesia, in the Bangui Ecclesia. They know I'm here today, so they told me to send their love to you all too. The theme of our exhortation this morning is, are our hearts in the right place? I understand that is the theme also at the Hamilton Ecclesia this morning. It's going to deal with the heart. We meet once again around this table of our absent Lord to keep him in memory and reflect upon the mercy of God toward us in the giving of his dear Son, whom he loved and who pleased him so well. We are there with him in our reading from Mark's Gospel this morning, read by our brother Mark, as he heals the Canaanite's daughter and cures the man that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And we witness the reaction of the people who were there, who were beyond measure astonished, where they said, "He hath done all things well." The people who flocked around him listened to him gladly. But to the Pharisees, Jesus had this to say, quoting from the words of the prophet Isaiah, as we had read to us in Mark chapter 7 in verse 6. "This people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." The question is, are our hearts in the right place? We know that the punctilious observance of the requirements of the law regarding feasts and rituals only led to self-righteousness in these men. This attitude is exemplified in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee went to the temple to pray to God, but prayed only with himself. There is no hint that the man searched his heart for his motivation. It is apparent that in laying so much stress on the form of religious rituals, he had completely lost sight of their meaning. The laws of God are good and essential, but human nature can so easily glory in the keeping of them. If we are to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus tells us we must have a totally different attitude. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "Except your righteousness exceed," or literally means abounds more than, "the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Brothers and sisters, what does God require of us in return for the grace and loving kindness he has afforded each one of us? We read in the Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Give me thine heart. Brother Collier, the meaning the word heart bears in the language of Scripture is the deeper part of the mind where character is formed. The deeper part of the mind where character is formed. Paul to the Colossians in chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, he says, set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Our problem as flesh and blood is that we often know in our hearts the right thing to do, but rationalize our actions and decisions so that we are following our thoughts and ignore our hearts, which are closer to God Himself. The more closer, of course, the more we feed upon His holy word as our necessary daily food. In the Proverbs, Solomon explains the close link between the heart and life in perhaps the most searching verse of the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, for personal possession. We lock our cars, alarm systems in our houses, PIN numbers for our credit cards. We take necessary precautions. Rotherham declares it as, above all that must be guarded, keep thou thy heart. Above all that must be guarded. The exhortation to us here is that we should be watchful of the way in which our affections are directed, for in the end they will determine whether or not we obtain eternal life. We know only too well that the ways of the flesh are the heart's natural inclination. We listen to the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17, in verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is the divine judgment upon the human heart, upon the seat of human affections, which are set on ways which are in opposition to God's ways. Prophet Isaiah in chapter 55 and verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Such has been the case since the fall in Eden. In the days of Noah, God gave judgment against mankind because, as we read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, God saw that the wickedness was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, or margin, purposes, desires, was only evil continually. Purposes or desires was only evil continually. We have a strong warning from Jesus this morning that the natural heart should not rule the body. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed all these evil things, come from within and defile the man. We are apt to think the thoughts and intents of the heart are our own affair, They are a private matter which we alone can discern. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that this is very far from the case, because there is one to whom all things are revealed. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10, the prophet says through the Spirit, I the Lord search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. All things are naked and open to him with whom we have to do. Our hopes, our fears, our joys, our sorrows, and the deepest desires of our hearts are known to him. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. If our hearts are at one with him, then will he comfort, strengthen, guide, and bless us. All that he asks is that we give our hearts to him. My son, give me thine heart. We are reading again, or we have a while back, of one through whom these words are given, Solomon, who began so well. God said to him, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. Give thy servant an understanding heart. Give thy servant an understanding heart. Why did such a one as Solomon, who seemingly had everything in his favour, fall away? We have the answer in 1 Kings chapter 11 in verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Perfect? His heart was not perfect. Perfect, original Hebrew, has the sense of being whole or undivided. So we have the idea of Solomon's heart not being at one with God, because he divided his affections between God and the things of this life. What a contrast we have in the example of his father David, whose heart was perfect with God, so much so that it is testified that he was, as we read in Acts chapter 13 in verse 22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. When Jesse's sons came one by one before Samuel, each was in turn rejected by God, not because of any physical shortcoming, but because they did not meet the divine criteria. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, we read, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. We read of the attitude of the Pharisees this morning. who exhibited an impeccable outward show of righteousness. But within, it was a different story. Mark chapter 7, verse 6. This people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The Septuagint reads it, their heart holds off remote from me, is the idea behind the words. Their heart holds off remote from me. You couldn't get a more telling definition of a religious hypocrite. It is apt for every generation. A play actor, one pretending to be something they are not. The issue the scribes had raised with Jesus was so isolated instance, but typical of all their attitude to the law of God. The religion of the Pharisees was external. Their hearts were devoid of the loving kindness and steadfast love in which the Lord delights and desires to see. The multitudes were impressed by the perceived religious adherence of their leaders. But the Lord, seeing through the show, knew their motives. It's the motives that the Lord looks at. The Lord is not deceived. He sees us as we really are. We need to be careful that we are not pretending to be someone we are not, and even deceiving ourselves. That is why we need to examine ourselves in the light of God's word and the example of our Lord and Master before we partake of these emblems. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2 we read, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Paul to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Brothers and sisters, these are sobering thoughts and cause us to give serious consideration to the advice of the proverb that has been before us this morning. Keep thy heart with all diligence. This implies self-control, not a momentary thing, but a patient continuance in the control of thought, word, and deed. Then to apply the positive by the cultivating of the heart in the right direction. Jesus in Luke chapter 8, verse 15 says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. This is the man with his heart on the right treasure. He is looking forward to the richness of the kingdom, the bringing in of the harvest, and doing it not on the merit of his own talent, but because Jesus suffered for him. We cannot live with Christ and seek the pleasures of our old lives. Else we become as Judas Iscariot. He lived in the company of Jesus, but did not share his spirit. His heart was not in the right place as he sat with Jesus at the table. It is as possible now as it was then to claim allegiance to God while never leading with our hearts. The story of Judas is important to us today because it allows us the opportunity to realize the weakness of our own flesh. The question is, are our hearts in the right place as we meet together around the table of our absent Lord? In the Psalms, it is recorded of our Lord, in Psalm 57 and verse 7, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." He set his face steadfastly to go up to Jerusalem, knowing what was before him, but also looking beyond that, to the joy of the kingdom, when he will drink anew of the fruit of the vine with his apostles and see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Jesus called such blessed when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Thank you.
Thanks for this wine.